Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am joined by my co-host,
Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was trying to think of some worm kind of intro, but it all felt forced. There's not really good worm puns.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to think up, like, a name for a worm. Like, if you could name your worm, what would it be? Because they use a lot of names for
wormy.
The, like... No, no, no. Like you name how you eat it, worm. Like, the worm dish.
Oh. I am... I don't know. I'm really bad at this.
I'm
like,
too...
worm stew. Like, I am worm and omelet. That was one. I don't know what they called that one, though, in the movie.
Yeah, they've got a lot of names. I guess we could have done, like, a ranking the names of the...
Yeah, we could have. That's probably what a more prepared podcast would do. But
yeah.
We, instead, like to fly by the seat of our pants, which I think is more true to life and is just giving people a taste.
But do the pants have worms in them? That is the question of the
hour. Bringing it back around to the worms. Before we get in too far into the worm of everything, I think we should go into our answers to last week's question of the week.
Absolutely. So last week's question was, what movie do you wish had a prequel?
Wow. And this was because we talked about Orphan First Kill, which is a prequel to
and
Orphan.
And we thought that we should have gotten a better prequel than this
yes.
one. So we wanted a prequel to the prequel of Orphan First Kill.
If you want to skip this section, you can just go to the timestamp in the description. But with that, I want to see what people's dream prequels are.
Well, I've got one for you here. Danny answered us on Twitter this time, and he said...
Switching it up.
I really hate the Fantastic Beasts movies, which is a W, because those are bad movies. But
yeah, they're not fantastic.
He says he thinks a film about the four founders of Hogwarts would be rad. Salazar Slytherin would be the villain.
You know, this is the thing with all the Harry Potter. I think we got another Harry Potter answer. In theory, yes. Maybe it would be a cool movie. I still don't really think I would want to watch it, though, at this point. Is like, would be tough.
Yeah, I feel like it would have to have absolutely no association with Rowling at all.
And also, my thing with the Fantastic Beasts movies is, I think, like, honestly, wizarding and stuff, like, the wizarding world that she created is not interesting. It's just, like, a version of our world with wands. The only reason
sure.
that Harry Potter is interesting is because there's, like, it's a high school... Or kid, it starts as like a kid story in like a school set story. But it's like a very basic, regular story that could take place in our world, just without some of the magic like overtones.
Sure.
And like the demon stuff and like Voldemort stuff. But like at its core, that's why people like it, is because of like the relationships and the school aspect. So that's why I feel like the Fantastic Beasts movies also just don't work. And why, like, maybe this could be cool, but also, I just don't think that's why people watched Harry Potter, was like, they didn't watch it because they liked spells.
My main issue with Fantastic Beasts, I think, I mean, apart from everything that is just absolute utter shit about it, is that I don't think they work because they're focused on adults, like you said. Like,
mm-hmm.
if the main characters were kids, it might be different. Like, if it was about Newt at
yeah.
school... Maybe that could have been a different thing. But so I don't know that the four founders would work. I just don't know, Danny.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like these old wizards, like, just doing... Like,
but...
It doesn't have the Harry Potter feel.
Sandy did say, we need the Marauders on Instagram. And I think the best way to do this would be to adapt the fan fiction. So there is
wow.
a Marauders fan fiction called All the Young Dudes, and it's basically like pretty much the most popular fan fiction.
It's like the most popular fan fiction, like,
of all time.
period, or Harry
Yes,
Potter?
yes. It
Wow.
is the most popular Harry Potter fan fiction, but I'm almost positive that it is the most popular fan fiction of all time.
Well, especially of like, there might be one that's like really niche, but I feel like Harry, like the most popular, like populist one too. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there like would be a bigger one.
Yeah, so on AO3, it has 7,704,817 hits on it.
Wow, that's more people than watched Fantastic Beasts 3.
And the next most popular is 2 million. So this is like,
Wow,
it came out in
crazy.
2018. People get this like printed into books. Basically, like the author has said
Oh,
that
damn.
they could print it into books. So there's like Etsy ones where you can like buy covers for this. It's like this is its whole own thing, not to get into all the fan fiction of it. But if they ever did a Harry Potter, that is what they should do, is to adapt All the Young Dudes, which they would never be able to do, but
Well, and I think the issue too would be like you said, they wouldn't be able to do it, and then they would do it a different way, and then like no one would like it because so many people that like are used to this other story, and it's like feel it that would be really hard for like there to be a canon story for a
yeah.
lot of the fan like all the core fans already have like a deep attachment to this other story, so that might pose an issue even if they did try to make it in a different way. Did we get any more?
We did. Danny also said
Oh, wow.
either that or a prequel to The Cabin in the Woods could be an interesting
The Cabin in the
exploration.
City.
Cabin in the City, maybe Cabin at the Beach.
Cabin at the Beach? Yeah.
Cabin in
Maybe just a
Space.
cabin series. Yeah, the Cabin in Space is like the ninth one. Like, isn't that one they go to space in Fantastic, like Fast and Furious 9? Don't they go to space? I think they go to space in one of them.
I have
I don't know.
never watched
I
a
haven't
Fast
seen
and
any of them,
Furious movie.
so.
But he said it could be an interesting exploration as to how the horror genre cemented its tropes. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen
I've never
that.
seen a cabin in the woods. I have seen the cabin in the city, and that one is great.
Was
But
it? I saw the cabin in the supermarket, and that one was fire.
oh, I've listened to "Lost in the Supermarket" by The Clash, but I don't think I've watched "Cabin in the Supermarket." And the joke's over. I see. Also, we got one from Zach on Instagram. He said, "Inglorious Bastards," which it's been a while since I watched. I mean, I'm assuming he's saying, like, the group, the titular Inglorious Bastards, like
Yeah, he
their
didn't really
member, like where they
elaborate
came
for
from.
us here.
Because like I at first I was just like, so is this just gonna be like a World War II movie, basically, like about World War II? Because that's like what it is.
Right.
And then Inglorious Bastards, spoiler alert, Hitler dies. And like yeah, that's what happens. So but it's like before that it's supposed to be just like regular history. So I guess what they would have to be is like the origin of their group, I guess you would call them. Gang. I don't know what the technical term is. It could be fun though. I mean, I don't know if he would ever make it just because it's like that's his most popular, like I think that's his most critically praised movie right now. Like I think maybe Pulp Fiction is, but Inglourious Basterds most people see as like his best movie, I think, at this point. So I don't know if he'd want to like touch that as opposed to like some of his other movies where like he said he might make another Kill Bill, like if he wanted to. Like I think that is more plausible than him making a prequel to Inglourious Basterds. But it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see that origin. Have you ever watched Inglourious Basterds? Are you
I
a
have not,
fan?
but I am very familiar with it. Like,
I thought you were gonna say, I am very anti-Nazi.
I am very anti-Nazi as
I have not
well.
seen Inglourious Basterds, but I will tell you if.
No, I have seen many scenes because this movie is so iconic that I
Yeah,
don't even
and
have
just
to
there's
have
a lot of
seen
iconic
it to
scenes
know
too.
what happens in this movie and to like see scenes from
Right.
this movie. So I am familiar, but I have not. So maybe I'll watch it one day.
Maybe
and
you
I'll
will, maybe
confirm
you won't.
Whether or not we need a prequel. It's not likely that I will watch it anytime soon, but...
Yeah, I don't really think you would like it. I don't love it, so maybe you... I don't know. Who knows? But I think it's time to move on from from one critically acclaimed masterpiece to another.
Ooh.
From Inglourious Basterds to How to Eat Fried Worms.
Yes.
Which is, this is an addition, we didn't say this at the top, but this is an addition to our childhood classics, which is when we go back to the vault of our minds and we open it up and we go to the movie section.
Uh-huh.
And we find some of the movies that we watched as children.
Wow.
And usually it's like the ones that we watched a lot, not just like we watched this
yeah,
once.
Yeah, like
it's like
pretty much childhood staples, the main relics of our childhood.
Yes, but this is the main relic of yours, because this is our first childhood classics where only one of us... It was
yeah.
a classic. I had never seen this movie until yesterday, so it'll be a little bit different.
It's almost a combination of childhood classics and cinema swap, because you
yes,
are now...
and we've never seen it. Kind of like combines all of
yeah,
our
wow.
little things.
Yeah. So this movie, I have a lot of great stories about this movie. It's funny because I know that I watched this movie, like, but we never owned it. So, I
one of those,
think,
yeah.
like, I know the very first time I watched it, we rented it from our local video store. Like, I remember picking it out, getting gummy worms, and renting this movie. Like, we physically walked in and picked it out off the shelf, and I don't know what drew us to this movie.
The title is very appealing. It's
well,
like,
and I think the cover is fun.
It gives it like, especially with the book and the movie. It is not surprising to me that this was a really popular book and movie.
Yeah,
like it's such like a good title for a kid's property.
Sure,
like it really is good.
And I know that we got it from the library repeatedly, because the library had it in their DVD section, and so anytime we were there and it had it, like, we would get it from the library. So I'm assuming that was how, like, I watched it so many times, because I do remember watching the bonus features on the DVD as well.
Wow.
And,
iconic.
We probably recorded it on TV, like, once we had a DVR and stuff. But it was interesting when I rewatched it last night, because... so much of it, like, came back to me. Like, I had forgotten about some of the little bits about it. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. I just was, like, hit with a wave of nostalgia as I was watching it.
Right.
Which was interesting, because
this
is one I haven't revisited in a while. I can't remember the last time I watched it. It's been quite a few years. Whereas some of the other ones we've talked about, I feel like I've seen more recently. Or, like, at least when I was an adult at some point. But I can't remember the last time I watched this one. But it is interesting. And it's funny that you had never seen it and that you got to watch it this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've had that experience with some of the other ones you've done. I think The Pacifier probably was the one main one where I hadn't seen it in a long time. So it was a really weird feeling of, like, realizing how much of the movie I knew. And, like, was still able to, like, recite or, like, knew the pacing of it or the bits. So, that is very funny. Again, it's, like, going back into the vault of your, in, like, unlocking all these memories that you forgot about.
As soon as the animation sequence started at the beginning, because it, like, introduces the movie with an animation sequence, I was like, oh, my God, I forgot that there was this animation sequence, and it's so good. And so, it just was, like, immediately pulled me back into the movie. Which I think is the point of this series, is to embrace that feeling. Hopefully. We haven't had a movie yet that we've revisited and it been bad, so...
Yeah, I mean, Beethoven definitely wasn't, like,
amazing.
Sure. I would say that's our worst one that we've done yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but it definitely was one that I don't think either of us really remembered super well.
Yeah, but we found out about the Beethoven video game, which is
great.
We
did.
We don't have an animation to show everyone because this is audio, but we'll introduce the movie by just reading this quick summary. Did you write this summary?
I did write this summary.
Okay, I'm reading this blind.
Great.
So we'll see how I go. It's the first day of school, and Billy Forrester is the new kid in class. When some of the other boys fill his lunch thermos with a heap of worms, Billy challenges the school bully and his infamous death ring in front of the whole school by throwing a worm at his face. This confrontation leads to a bet where Billy, now coined Worm Boy, has to eat 10 worms in one day or else come to school with worms in his pants. Will Billy be able to stomach through the challenge, or will he puke his guts out and live with the embarrassment forever?
Wow.
And ever and ever. It's high stakes, and yeah, you don't know if he's going to come out of this one alive, the whole movie, so you're kind of on the edge of your seat. It's also important to note that the animation tells you that he has a history of throwing up, like, basically for very small reasons. Like, for reasons, like, you wouldn't throw up or a normal
right.
person wouldn't throw up. So it's, like, most people would throw up if they had to eat 10 worms, which is why it's, like, the stakes are raised, because you know
that
he's already prone.
Yeah, they establish it from the beginning, in the very opening animation and in the opening scene, so it makes it very exciting.
Yeah, the stakes are high, as they always are for kids, which is all good, because I feel like kids, that's what they always feel like. When you're a kid, is that the stakes are, like, that high. So it's cool to find ways to, like, translate that to the audience
yeah.
and make them feel like the stakes are high, too. You have some history here.
I do.
Which I haven't read any of this, so I'm excited to learn.
Great.
And take notes and get ready for the test.
I can't say how exciting it is, but it is really interesting how much this movie seemed like it was never going to get made, so... It's loosely based on the 1973 children's book by Thomas Rockwell.
Know it was that old.
I didn't either.
I gotta say.
It was the same name that you said, so that was called How to Eat Fried Worms, which I had not read, but apparently it's slightly different. I think in the book it spans 10 days, and he has to eat 10 worms in 10 days, and there's like it's like a money bet or something. So
the one day definitely that was a good change,
yeah great change, and then they changed it to having to put worms in your pants and go to school with worms in your pants instead of like I think it was like $50 in the book or something. So
that's not fun.
So the film actually began development in 1996, so that's what, like,
wow.
10 years prior to this one coming out.
Yeah.
So that was under Imagine Entertainment, which is Ron Howard's production
Imagine
company.
All the people.
So
yeah, that's funny.
I don't know. It just feels so random to me. So then they brought
Ron Howard
on.
Is like, we need the worm book.
We need the worm
on
book.
Screen.
So John August was hired to write the script. In his first screenwriting job. Which is funny because, like, obviously, if you're familiar with John August, he went on to write, like, Big Fish, Frankenweenie, I think, like, some of those other, like, Corpse Bride. So he ended up being big, but, like, he wrote the first scripts of this. And then some guy named Tom Schlamm was set to direct, who I guess now kind of does TV.
The West Wing. I just looked it up. He did a lot of the West
and
Wing.
And Parenthood, I think, was the other one. Or maybe Joe Nussbaum did Parenthood, the next guy.
No, he. It did say he worked on Parenthood.
Okay.
So
yeah, so it seemed like he eased out of...
Show, so
yeah.
That's not great.
So apparently neither of them worked well together at all. They had a lot of conflict when they were trying to do the drafts of this. And so they were like, maybe we should say bye-bye to this and pass it on to somebody else who's better suited. So that was when Bob Dolman came on board, who ended up being the director of the film. But at this point, Universal put the film in turnaround. So it was pretty much shot until Nickelodeon swept in and bought the rights. And that was when they brought on Joe Nussbaum, and he was going to direct. And then Nickelodeon said, actually, we don't want to make this project anymore.
Ah, classic Nickelodeon. That's good, because Nickelodeon right now is not in a great topic, so I'm glad we don't have to.
Yes, and I think that they would have totally, like, ruined this movie as well.
It would have been, like, a lot more gross out humor, which I think there is, but, like, it would have been way more.
Yeah, and less natural and kind of more silly. So then Walden Media bought it, and Warner Brothers decided to distribute it, so they had that partnership, and then they cut Joe Nussbaum from the project because Bob Dolman was like, I want to direct my own script, which was one of the best decisions they could have made.
That's such a power move.
By July 2005, shooting finally began. So 9 years after the original started.
Sometimes masterpieces just take a long time to come to fruition.
Yeah, and John August declined the screenwriting credit. They did offer it to him, but because there had been enough changes in it, like I guess the whole script basically was rewritten, he was like, actually, I'm good. So he didn't take
the credit. Well, that was nice of them to offer, though.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't offer, so.
So The Weeknd it debuted at number 11 with 4 million. I don't know I didn't look up what else came out that weekend.
I'm looking up right now.
I'm assuming this didn't
I'm going to make you guess first. I'm going to look here.
This is like that box office game.
I don't think you're not going to guess it.
Can you give me a tagline? The first two actors.
It's got your favorite actor in it, Mark Wahlberg.
Oh. Have I seen it?
I don't know. It's the sports one.
Oh gosh, I can't even think of a sports movie that Mark Wahlberg was in. I don't know it.
Invincible.
Oh, I have seen that actually.
Oh, there you go. Then there's also like Talladega Nights, Little Miss Sunshine, Snakes on a Plane.
Okay.
Barnyard was ahead of this that weekend. So Nickelodeon ended up coming out on top.
Did you see that in theaters?
Barnyard? I did not. Did you?
I don't know. I do remember watching it, but I don't know that we saw it in theaters.
I literally haven't thought about Barnyard in so long.
I haven't thought about it probably in 10 years until you said it at this moment. I didn't know the movie still existed.
Shout out to Barnyard.
Yeah, I wonder if this just didn't, like, distribute into as many theaters, like, if it had kind of more of a limited distribution. So, it closed 7 weeks later, which I feel like is actually pretty good for a movie that, like, didn't debut super high to, like, still run for seven weeks.
Yeah, they definitely would have just taken it out at this, like, today. They would have just, like, taken it out.
So, it ended up grossing a worldwide total of $13 million. Which I feel like isn't too bad.
Yeah, I don't know the budget. So
yeah,
it doesn't
look
like it's a very high budget, though.
Yeah, I couldn't find the budget. So so Dolman, who seemed awesome, his two main goals with the film were to have authentic characters and a major gross factor. He said,
a major gross factor.
He really wanted... So their main demographic was 11-year-old boys, and they really wanted 11-year-old boys.
Which is everyone's main demographic.
Yes.
That's not cool at all. That's
it's not even
not
just
this,
not exclusive. But he was hoping that boys would watch it and be grossed out by it, because he said a lot of boys might watch something and not find it gross, but he was like, everyone has to find eating worms gross, so we'll just make it as gross as possible.
I would agree.
And then he also let most of the supporting characters develop how they wanted their own character to act. So most of the kids in the movie really were just playing themselves, and he thought that this was the best way to get, like, performances out of the kids and make it a fun experience for them.
Yeah. I gotta say, a lot of the acting is pretty good. There's a couple of the kids that I definitely could tell that. I was like, this kid is just not acting. This kid is just, this is how this kid is. Like, the kid that was in the kitchen was like, no cooking in my kitchen. I'm like, this kid isn't acting.
Yep.
This isn't,
exactly.
This is just him being him.
Well,
so,
and it was
but...
cute because I watched the behind this. There's like a behind the scenes documentary on YouTube that was on the DVD. I remember watching it on the DVD. It was kind of fun. And all the kids were talking about like how amazing he was and how fun he was and how he would like do things with them that made them feel like really special and that he like actually really cared about being involved in the project. And he talked about how he kind of had to let a side of him loose because he realized that was the best way to connect with the kids and like dance with them and let them push him into the river and like do all these
wow,
things
this
with
guy
them.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, he was, it seemed really nice. It was very cute. If you watch the
Bob
behind the scenes.
Dole the man.
Yeah, so I think learning all that like definitely helps me to see, like, you can see it in the movie for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I do think that this movie is really good still, and I think that like a lot of it stems probably from that in general. Mm-hmm. So its two taglines, I had to share this, were, it's global worming.
There's the worm pun we were looking for.
And new town, new friends, new menu, which I think works. That's probably more
fun.
Of like one that might be
I just
used,
imagine
but...
like that being in like some like teen ad where it's like from like a like you know the ad they show on TV like new town, new friends, new menu. How to eat fried worms in theaters now. I don't know.
Yeah, that that's was funny. Good.
That's kind of how they would say it if it was Nickelodeon. If that was a Nickelodeon ad, that's how they would say that.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were worried that worms were harmed in the making of this
not
film.
Not the worms.
But they were very adamant that worms were not harmed in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So the main actor, Luke Benward, he didn't have to eat any real worms, but he did have to put a live worm in his mouth and then he, I guess, spit it out. In that, there's like a final climax scene where it shows him putting a worm in his mouth. So they just had
Tom Cruise would have eaten a worm.
Tom Cruise would have done it.
Tom Cruise would have been like, we need the worm to be exploded in the microwave.
So the only live worms they actually used in the movie were in the scene with the thermos in the school lunchroom. So those were real worms in the lunchroom scene when they get poured onto the counter and then when they're on the table or whatever. And so those worms were rented for the shoot at a local bait shop. And after the scene wrapped, they were returned to the bait shop.
Oh,
so wow. They were eventually
money back guaranteed.
Used by someone else to catch fish. So
right.
Was it really humane? Maybe they should have
I feel like,
released
the worms,
them outside
yeah,
into
the
world.
Like, that's really funny, actually. It's like, no worms were harmed, but you returned them back to where they were going to die.
Yeah.
So, canceled.
The rest of the worms were created by the special effects team, which is kind of fun. So the majority of the worms were made with rubber, gelatin, and food coloring, or mushroom stems in some of the cooking sequences. To give the illusion of movement in the worms, they would sometimes put an air hose inside some of the gelatin worms to make them, like, wriggle and move. And I feel like there is a scene in the behind-the-scenes featurette about how they blew up the worm in the microwave, how they did that scene. And that was kind of cool. But I feel like I remember, I'm going to have to like get the DVD from the library or something. Because I feel
just
like I remember there being something on the DVD about how they made the worms. Like of them actually making the worms in the like gelatin
yeah.
stuff.
That would make sense. I don't know why they wouldn't have something like that.
Yeah,
like...
and I looked and looked online for it and I couldn't find it. So I'll update. I will go get
perfect.
It from the library and I'll release an update about it. But
I'm excited to hear
yeah,
how
so
they made the worms.
All around, fun info about this. I was surprised at how much I actually was able to find about this one.
Yeah, I feel like movies like this, there's just, like, not as much interest in them online, so people just, like, don't seek out the information and it doesn't get spread as much, or, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just is, definitely feels like a movie that wouldn't have a lot of information, but yeah, this is all good. Probably the biggest thing, too, is because, like, it was such a long production. So,
yeah,
obviously they thought it was going to be, like, a bigger movie than it was, but...
Yeah.
I think before we actually end up talking about, like, the movie in full, we should go to a quick ad break, but we'll be back shortly. To prepare for this, and now I think I'm ready to talk about how to eat fried worms. So again, this came out in 2006, August 25th, which is when I turned six. That's my birthday. So this came out the day I turned six.
Wow.
And technically, this is like when this episode comes out, this is only a few days past the 16th anniversary, which again, another win for us. Always accidentally releasing episodes on their anniversary.
Unplanned. Wow.
And Matilda was also a childhood classic. So we did it with that.
And so, Beethoven. And it happens.
It's crazy. It is so funny. Like, there's like a one in, I mean, I guess this isn't the exact anniversary, but it's impressive how much it happens.
The week of, though, like, that is just...
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we don't even, like, we just throw these things into our schedule and say, I guess it makes sense a little more for this one, because we were like, okay, this is a good end of summer, back to school movie, was why we did it, like, around this time.
Yes.
But we did move the date of this multiple times.
Right,
so
we were going to do this early August.
Yeah, so
the stars aligned for did. Us to
The worms to aligned.
Yeah. I don't know, like, don't they have, like, sections of the worms, like, aren't there, like, multiple segments, so, like, the segments of the worms align?
Yeah,
because, like, don't, like, when you cut a worm, like, it can grow back. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Worms are very cool. Yeah, let's talk about this. What did it live up to your expectations?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
your
totally
memories?
I stand behind this film. I knew that I stood behind it still, like, I knew that it was still good, but watching it, I was like, I just confirmed.
Validated.
I confirmed.
Yeah, you were validated.
Yeah, I think everything, it holds up to everything that's like, I feel like it's the perfect kids movie, because it's short, it's got a lot of action, but it's also funny, it's got fun characters, but then I feel like as an adult, you can watch it and be like, man, this really feels like childhood. And, like, still embrace parts of it. And it's still entertaining as an adult and fun. But I feel like it fits the, like, perfect kid movie formula to a T. And I think it also, like, marked the end of a time of movies like this. Like, I feel like around those years between, like, 2006 and 2010, movies like this kind of just stopped being made. And so, I don't know. I just feel like it's just the perfect combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I think because, I mean, I guess technically, like, the Marvel movies maybe aren't, like, quote-unquote kids' movies, but kids watch them. Like, that's so... I think the studios have to go a lot more action-oriented, and this is just, like, not action-oriented really at all. It's just about, like, the bet and... Will this kid eat the worms? Which, it can be exciting, but it is a very, like, grounded movie, which feels weird to say about how to eat fried worms.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very grounded film.
Because the worms are in the ground.
Oh, my God.
I think, like, now, too, a lot of kids' movies, they overplay a lot of jokes and they think that kids can't, like, understand a certain kind of humor or might not find something interesting if there's not, like, fart jokes in it or Kevin Hart in it. Like, stuff like that. Like
Kevin Hart! Or The Rock!
Or John Cena. I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I think of, yeah. I don't know why this movie's coming to mind, because I haven't even seen this movie. But you know that movie that, like, came out? I think it was a John Cena movie called Playing with Fire or something like that.
I've seen Playing with Fire, unfortunately.
So,
yeah.
That movie feels like what this movie is. Like, it feels like...
Yeah, like that, the equivalent now.
Yeah, like today's equivalent. But I feel like the equivalent today feels so much more silly and stupid than this did. Like, this movie takes itself seriously while it also is a kid's movie. And I think it also trusts the kids to be serious characters, but also be funny. Because I think today... they don't put enough trust in kids to just be, like, serious characters, too, in a comedy movie like this. I think, like, when you also look at something like Cheaper by the Dozen, Parent Trap, like, those movies kind of fit in the same sort of vein as this. In my opinion.
No, yeah, I think a lot of the comedy is just from the situations and, like, just them, their lives, rather than it's, like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel like they're creating comedy for the sake of comedy. It's just, like, a funny story, and it's a funny idea. And the kids are funny because, like, they're just, like, hanging out and having a good time. Most of the time. Sometimes they're not having a good time. But that's all part of storytelling. And I think it's, like, it is nice to just see all those little details that makes it feel more authentic. Where you can definitely tell, like, this is just how they act. And, like, maybe the writer, director, like, he observed them and then, like, knew what to put in the movie to make it feel realistic. One thing was, like, how they were always making fun of, like, whatever an adult said. And, like, it was, like, the new joke. I thought that was a very funny and truthful thing. Because, like, and, like, it's nothing even, like, they didn't say anything. Like, they said, like, a couple, like... a sentence that just was a regular sentence, and then but they make fun of it for the rest of the day. Yeah,
like they do it multiple times. Like when the teacher is like, "Oh, you guys are doing such a good job," and they're just like mocking her.
So you're doing such a good job. Yeah, it's just really funny. And that's something again where it's like that's not a created, like it doesn't feel like an overly created joke to make you laugh. It's just something like that's natural.
Well, and like and stuff even where they're funny. Like sitting on the computer and saying sphincter because they think it's a funny word, and the whole joke is them all just being like sphincter, 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 and it's like it's funny, but like that's not a joke that had to be written into it. Like that is just kids being kids, and that's what makes it funny about it. Which I think is what is good about this movie and kind of what we're missing in kids' movies today like this, where there's just not natural or organic humor. And I think, like you said, a lot of it is probably just the kids doing it themselves and just being goofy and silly, which I think comes from giving them a comfortable environment to work in. And I think that's very clear that this was, like, a set for that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very, like, once you get to the day where they're eating the worms, it's like all the same people, so you can tell it was like a very close set, I'm assuming, and like just like day after day just like hanging out with all these people and like shooting these crazy scenes of like eating worms. Sounds like they would, it just sounds like something that they would do if they weren't even on camera. Like it just sounds like it for them it'd be fun, which is why they all look like they're having a great time, because they are. I think even beyond that, though, I do think that's, like, really well written. And, has, like you said, it takes itself real seriously. I really like... I like the thing with... what's the bully's name?
Joe.
I forgot his name. Joe, yeah, with his brother. I thought that was a good layer to add. Not, like, groundbreaking, because that's been done before. Like, the bully... you actually find out his older brother is his bully. Like, that's not, like, a groundbreaking thing. But was a good thing to add. But really, my favorite thing was how Billy's story was, like, paralleling with his dad's. Mm. And they were kind of, like, going through stuff together. And it, one, kind of showed, like, the similarity of their experiences and how life is, like, just the same issues over and over. Yeah. Which is just funny, too. But yeah, it also like kind of grounds it, I think, and it helps the parents relate maybe to the kids more and can help the kids maybe relate to their parents. Yeah, I really liked that aspect and like just their whole relationship with like him and the dad. I would have liked it maybe one more scene even like after the tennis match. But
Yeah.
I did think that that was a really smart aspect and what really set it apart for me was those scenes with him.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up the same thing actually. Because I think one thing that is interesting about it is a lot of movies like this are about the kid and the mom. And it kind of almost starts out that way where they have the scene of his mom and talking to him, and he's almost like embarrassed by his mom and stuff. And it's interesting that he has the relationship with his dad that he does, because I feel like that's not something they used to put in 2006 movies, like in that time. Like, it
Yeah.
just wasn't having that emotional relationship where the dad is like, yeah, I'm having the same issue and I'm having the same problem and life is hard for me too. Because usually they make the dad the more masculine, I don't understand what's going on character, and the mom is the tender character. And I thought that that was really interesting because that's something I didn't really catch as much when I was a kid.
Right.
But watching it now, I was able to see those scenes and be like, wow, that's actually like very thoughtful and like intentional. And I really liked those scenes between him and his dad.
Yeah, there was a lot of good like male role model stuff here too, and just like it was some cool examples of masculinity you kind of found in this movie, I thought. I really liked that, and also with like how he that's like one lesson he had to learn was like not to compromise himself for like to please the people around him. I thought that was interesting. I really liked I again, this is like where you know where it's like good writing because it was just like something a little detail, but it just I think worked really well. When Erica, who's like the girl, I guess, in the movie, like the main female character, when it's like I think it's when they're at one of the houses making one of the warm dishes, and she says like boys are so weird, but like she says it like scoffingly, but then at the end. She says it, but she's like smiling. I don't know. I thought that was like a nice, it encapsulated the growth of the characters really well. 'Cause it was like she said it after they were like, I think it was me right after the bet ended. I don't think it was at school. Maybe it was at school. I don't know. But I just really thought that was like a cool detail. Another like little thing that set it apart for me and made it really feel like, oh, this is actually like a real movie. That they really believed in and like wanted to make good, which doesn't really happen anymore with
Yeah.
movies like this.
Well, and I like too the parallel of him being mean to his brother and then nice to his brother after he saw the other brother being mean to
Right.
Joe, Nigel being mean to Joe, and kind of how
Yeah.
he almost was like, oh, maybe I do need to be nice to Woody and
He
like
broke
appreciate
the
Woody.
cycle.
And I think it's good because like they do these little callbacks throughout that resolve a lot of those arcs of like, oh, this is a good marker of the growth of how this character came across the plot. And yeah, it's very good. It's.
It is. It's a very, like, it's weird because it seems like a very. It almost feels like it would be a Nickelodeon movie from the title and the cover, I think.
Yeah.
It's like. It'd just be, like, crazy outlandish. Like, look at all these crazy dishes. That's what I kind of thought it was going to be going in. But it really is, like, a very, like, heartfelt, like, sweet movie, I think. Which is just not, again, not what I expected going in. And I think probably parents who saw this, I would assume were, like, pleasantly surprised because like
Yeah.
it's well paced. The most of the performances are good. Like I said, a couple of the kids definitely overdo it a bit, but you know, it's to be expected with kids. But overall, like it's just like a well-made movie. And I enjoyed watching it a lot.
We didn't even mention this, but it is scored by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah.
And
Yes. Who we've been
obviously.
talked about a little bit this summer
Yeah,
with Wes
with Wes
Anderson.
Anderson. And it's interesting because, like, he would have been scoring this around the same time he scored, because he scored Life Aquatic, right? So he would have been
Yeah.
scoring this around the same time he
Wow.
scored Life Aquatic,
King.
which is so interesting to
Imagine
think
working on
about.
Life Aquatic and
How to Eat Fried Worms.
How to Eat Fried Worms.
Iconic.
In the same time. What a career moment.
But yeah, I was like, obviously as a kid, that's something that I never thought about score or anything like that. And so it was interesting to like watch it now and like see those elements in it. And I thought the score was pretty funny. So.
Well, that's how you know you're like really lame is when the composer's name comes on screen and I was like, oh my word.
I know, I texted you immediately when I saw it. I was like, what?
It's like
Mother's Ball scored this? What? Yeah.
And his brother, I think.
It was a co-score. And I could not find the score on Spotify, unfortunately. So
wow, that's actually really sad. Oh, he also did Life Aquatic with his brother. So they both had a big career moment.
Wow.
Good for them.
That is very cool. It's funny because one thing I mentioned in last week's episode is like at this time, I was like obsessed with Luke Benward because he, which is so funny to me watching this now, because I was like, wow, I can't believe that I like was obsessed with this kid. But he was in 4 movies, like, back-to-back that I loved.
Okay.
So he was in Because of Winn-Dixie, and then he was in How to Eat Fried Worms, and then he was in Minutemen on Disney Channel, and then he was in R.L. Stine's Mostly Ghostly.
Hey, he was in your favorite movie.
Dear John. I noticed that.
Dear John.
I didn't even know he was in that until I looked at his filmography this week, and I was like, huh. So, I don't know, I mean, obviously it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't know if he played, like, a younger version of the main guy.
It says age 14, I think, so I think he did. That's what it seemed like. Is he, like, a weird, like, religious kind of thing going on now? That's what it looks like from my little
No.
searching.
No.
No? Okay, well, because this last movie he did
playing God
looks a little sketchy. Yeah.
No, he's a con artist who is conning someone into.
Oh, maybe I'm misreading this. Okay.
He did.
You've had some. Sorry.
He grew up religious because I read an interview. This is a deep cut. He did an interview for Clubhouse Magazine. Did you get Clubhouse?
Clubhouse Magazine? Yo.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
So we got Clubhouse Magazine. And that was how I found out that he was a Christian, because
iconic.
He
Luke moment.
He did a like a page interview with Clubhouse talking about his relationship with God and how he prayed before he auditioned
so
for every
funny.
role, and I was like, oh my God, we're meant to be together. He's a Christian.
Oh my word. I cannot
and
believe
so,
this. The stars are aligning.
But it's so funny because in that interview I remember reading when he auditioned, it was right after this movie that he did this interview, before he did Minutemen. I tried to find it online, and I couldn't find it, unfortunately. But in the interview, he did say that he, almost didn't get the part because his mom was, like, late getting to the FedEx store, getting the tape shipped off. Because at that time, it wasn't like you would do the audition tape, but you had to mail it to the studio for it. It wasn't like you could upload it.
Right.
And so she almost didn't get it, but there was still a FedEx employee, like, in the store. And so he let her mail it late. And then when he got the part, they went back and, like, gave him a gift and, like, flowers and stuff and, like, thanked him for, like, letting them send it out.
That's funny.
But it was, like, this whole thing where it was, like, God provided. And I was, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I love him. We're meant to be married
one
day.
I remember the Clubhouse Magazine interview that I remember that I was, like, afterwards it was crazy because he was, like, not big at this time, was Stephen Curry.
Interesting.
And it was just, it was, like, when he was first starting out.
Right.
And it was, like, he was, like, a no-name. And I was, like, this guy's awesome. And that I was really ahead of the curve, gotta say.
That is crazy. That's so funny.
Big
I figured
Stephen Curry
you were
fan.
I when I brought that up, I figured you were Clubhouse Magazine
guy.
Oh,
yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I tried to look it up and
probably,
I couldn't find it, but
I just tried looking it up. I think they gotta get Clubhouse Magazine online. I think they might be a little behind on the times here.
Yeah. I don't think he's religious now though. Like
the only reason I ask is because there's a lot of people I knew you used to be obsessed with that now are like a little bit problematic in that way. So I was just wondering.
Hey, but that I'm glad is that he's the not conservative one. Lifestyle. You like the people who are conservative when you're a young child raised in that. And
hey, but like the guy that played Edmund in Chronicle of Narnia.
I know,
of Narnia,
he ended up turning into a terrible person.
So that's really yeah.
No, but now he's like dating the one of the girls that starred in Modern Family, and like based on his Instagram posts, it seems like he's like much more like
you did some vetting.
Yeah, I looked it up just to be sure. I don't follow him, but I was like maybe let me just make sure that he's not like a Trump supporter. But it seems like he's very like
always a good thing to check
liberal now. So
okay. Luke Benward, liberal king. you have here a question, the worms, were they gross? Which, I think they were. I mean, I think they did a good job escalating the grossness, for sure. Because you can't just, like, eat worms, it's going to get boring. So I thought it was fun how they made them crazier and crazier.
Yeah, I was curious since that was, like, one of their main goals, it sounded like, was to make the worms so gross that I was, like, wondering what you thought about all the different worms.
Yeah, I mean, it also is, like, I think it has a different effect when you're not a kid because, like, you know it's fake and it's, like, that is the one part that they play over the top, which is fine. Like, that is, like, the point of it. So, I don't think it was, like, felt gross to me, but it was funny. I thought.
Sure.
And I thought it was funny too, not funny, like smart, how the last worm that he had to eat was just like a regular worm though.
Yeah.
Because everything was going crazy and crazier, but it was like bring it back to basics for the last worm, you know?
Yeah.
That was a good, idea. Yeah, I thought it was fun though. I think the grossest one was probably like, the spicy, I also don't like spicy things, so that was probably...
I thought the one that I was like, was the peanut butter sandwich one.
Oh, yeah.
That one is the grossest one to me.
That one was the grossest.
I could not imagine eating a crushed worm on a peanut butter sandwich. Like, that just, like...
The best one was the smoothie.
Yeah.
Because
they put it in
there was
smoothie.
Like so much stuff in there, and then there's just like this little worm, like there's no way that he's going to taste anything.
Well, and he like barely even ate that one too. Like because they
yeah,
kind of just dumped it on
his that should
his
not
face.
Have counted.
So I wouldn't have counted that one, but
you know, what are you going to do? I mean, technically he didn't win at the end, so it's just like it wouldn't have mattered.
See,
he would have just
I'm trying to remember. I didn't count them cuz I remember as
I thought
kid,
that they counted. I thought they counted right. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yes, I think that he ate 10 because they said that he didn't with the boiler head one, but Adam put two worms in the
two worms
other one, so that would have been
yes.
10. But I can't remember. I didn't like keep track
because I was keeping track basically. I think, and then there was the one in the omelet, which obviously he didn't eat. But then they did two, so I remember counting two.
Yeah,
and adding
there
two,
was...
and the number they said was correct. So I'm pretty sure he ate 10.
The lard, the two, the peanut butter sandwich, the
smoothie,
the microwave.
The first one. Microwave?
Yeah, I said the first one.
Oh, okay, that was a lard.
The hot sauce one was the marshmallow one was different, right?
Yes.
And then the
last
real
one.
Worm.
Maybe he only ate.
And then was there another one?
I want to like look this up.
Maybe it was only 9.
Maybe it was. Maybe we are incorrect. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. So, weak stomach, target, open...
Okay, here we go. I got it for you.
Okay, you got it?
So,
right,
there's the Liebig...
Are you sure this is the movie and not the book?
I am positive.
Okay, cool. All right.
So, there's the Liebig Porker, the Greasy Brown Toad Bloater Special... Which was two worms, right?
Yes.
I
think that was the one, the two.
Yeah. The Burning Fireball, Magnified Worm, Barfmallow, Peanut Butter and Worm Jam Sandwich, The Green Slusher, Radioactive Slime Delight, and Worm a la Mud. So there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there was 9 worms, but Adam said... He put 2 in the Greasy Brown Toad Bloater Specials. Really, it was 10 worms.
So in the end, Billy is still the winner, no matter what the media says.
Yeah, I am convinced.
The fake news. Yeah, but I think it was a good idea, like, having them both do it at the end. It was like, some good camaraderie, yeah. And also, like, it wouldn't have fit the message or the vibe to, like, have him be the only one with the worms in his pants, you know? The idea was, like, the camaraderie and everything, so it would have felt off if it was, like, just him.
Yeah.
So I like that it was a great scene and a good, like, ending thing with, like, the teacher coming out and everyone, like, another, like, classic kid thing. But in movies, it's always so funny because the adults are so stupid. Like, who would not suspect anything with these kids, like, barely able to contain themselves with laughter and, like, everyone just standing there in silence?
Yeah, it's so funny.
No way. I like the landing scene. It was very cute.
Yeah.
Very fun. And they do the dancing, and yeah. It was fun. It was just a good movie, you know? Like I said, there was good... the characters I thought were good, and I liked the way they were... they developed them, and they had some layers with the brother and the father-son relationship. And Erica, we didn't really mention her. We talked about her, like, once, but I thought she added a good layer.
Yeah.
And came in and saved the day with her arrow.
Yeah,
which
she was
great.
Very cool.
And I like, you know, timing down to the last second. Very, very dramatic. Almost got that last worm in under the wire.
Yeah, he had to swim for it.
Why did they set the time so early in the day?
I don't know. Like, I guess kids go to bed at a certain time.
Like, that was my thing. Like,
well, I also didn't understand why they, like, why he agreed to go back for dinner and, like, come back. I was like, no, just eat the worms.
I
want to
just get it over. Just do it. It's about drive. It's about power.
We stay That's hungry. We devour the worms.
Put in the work. Do the hours and take what's ours. That was what Billy was singing.
Yeah.
And then they danced to it in Dance Dance Revolution. He was also, that one kid was awful at Dance Dance Revolution. He was not playing the game.
No.
He was just not.
No, he was just dancing.
Simply, it was fun. It felt like he was purposely, like, missing the buttons.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was, like, dancing over them. That was funny. I don't have much else to say about this one. I would just recommend it if people haven't seen it. It's, like you said, it's short. And I do think, like, you don't have to be a kid. We aren't kids.
No.
I think. And we watched it alone
in
our rooms.
And enjoyed it. And laughed at it.
And it is good for, like, back to school. If anyone listening is going back to school. Or just, like, the end of summer feel, I think anyone can relate to.
I think this one also would be really fun to have. Like, I kept thinking how fun it would be to have watch this movie for, like, a party, like a movie party.
Oh, yeah.
And have,
when
like,
you, like, have
so
like,
many worm-themed foods, like,
yes.
Gummy worms, and then have, like,
yes.
Other things that look like worms.
Man, if I could go back and redo my 6th birthday, I could have gone to see this.
And then come home
and, then gave another...
and had, like, spaghetti,
yeah.
But with worm.
But with worms in it.
Noodles.
I would have got it to number 10 at the box office.
Yeah.
I could have pushed it up there if I brought a few friends with me.
I definitely wish I had gummy worms when I watched it last night. I thought about it. I was like, man,
yeah,
I wish I had gummy
eaten
worms
them if
right
I did.
Now.
I love gummy worms.
Me too.
Some of them aren't good. Like, they gotta be good.
You gotta get the,
like,
name brand. That's what I've learned. I think name brand gummy worms are the best.
Question of the week. What is your favorite brand of gummy worms? How would you eat fried worms?
So, our question of the week, then, is what movie did you repeatedly check out from the library as a kid? I feel like everybody has one of these. Like, I feel like a lot of filmmakers, when you hear filmmakers talk about movies, they're like, oh, I went and got this movie from the library, or, like, my mom got me this movie, and I basically watched it until the VHS, like, died.
Yeah, I definitely have less library movie memories, because my mom never really let us rent movies from the library, because we would always, like, forget to bring them back, and then she would have to pay, like, $50 every time we went back to the library.
Me now! But I can't rent movies from the library now. I don't know why I keep doing it. I get fines every month when I do it.
And they only let you take it for like a week usually, which is like sometimes your life gets busy, man. But the one that I remember repeat doing a few times was Kronk's New Groove. That was one. I think I used to think like I used to like that one more than like the Emperor's New Groove. I don't know
Interesting.
why. I guess
I think a lot of kids like Kronk. That's why.
because he's
He
funny.
is
He's a
funny.
funny
He is a
guy.
funny dude.
He's got a funny voice. What more do you want from a
Those are good
movie?
movies. We should talk about those sometime.
Yeah, and the show. There's this whole
Yeah,
show.
I watched it.
Emperor's New
I
School.
remember. I watched it when it came out on Disney.
See, this is what happens when we open the vault. The Emperor's New Groove, the Emperor's New School comes, a Clubhouse
Well,
magazine
we've
comes
definitely
out,
talked
a lot of
about that,
things.
like, childhood classics could easily be its own whole podcast, but
Yeah, I feel like all of our episodes, we just have like too much going on in our brains. So
yeah.
every podcast idea we just make into episode like
Yeah.
series. And you know, it's just what it is. It's how we roll around here. You never know what you're gonna get. It's like a box of chocolates. Yeah, but yeah, let us know what movie you rented repeatedly from the library. So not just once, but like two or three, like at least like two or three times, like something you would remember like as a library
Yeah,
movie.
or maybe it was your local video store.
Or if Netflix DVD, remember
We
Netflix DVD?
did. Maybe that's where I got this movie from too, from Netflix DVD, 'cause that would have been when we had our Netflix DVD subscription too.
Netflix DVD, shout out to Netflix DVD. That honestly, can we go back to Netflix TV? I know they still have it, but I think like maybe if we just like shut down the streaming services for a few months, it would be a well-needed break for most people, and we could just rent DVDs again. You can answer that question though on any of our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our website, our email, on Spotify. Just go to any of the links in the show notes, and you will be taken to those places to answer that question, which then we'll read in our next episode, which is technically like we have again. I feel like we do this every year. Like we have like three summer end episode, like end of summer episodes.
Yeah, we
This
just
is
hold
like
on to summer.
our second of three end of summer episodes where we're wrapping up our summer series on Wes Anderson with our fourth and final episode, which will be about Isle of Dogs and The French Dispatch, and we'll probably talk a little bit about the future, I
And
guess,
his
of
career
his
as a
career.
whole, and
His career, yeah, definitely an overview, and then like looking ahead to
our
what he's working
final
on
official
now.
rankings.
Wow.
Wow.
So much will be revealed.
It's
So
gonna be
definitely
fun.
check that one out. I'm excited. This has been a fun series to do, and so I'm excited to get it complete, you know,
Yeah.
to put it in a playlist on Spotify and never put it on our website. Yeah, that's it. So yeah, you can listen to that next Tuesday at 10 a.m. is when our episodes come out. Do you have anything to say until that time? Thus does happen. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have fun
You
at school,
don't
kids,
have.
and
Yeah.
make sure you eat your worms.
Don't. I was gonna say don't eat worms, like don't
Don't
do
eat
drugs,
worms.
but like don't eat worms, kids.
And I said, do eat the
Dare,
worms.
right?
Eat the worms. Don't do drugs, though. That wasn't like me saying, don't do. But yeah, don't.
Don't do drugs and probably don't eat worms. I'm pretty sure that you would get like parasites or like
Yeah.
something bad would probably happen.
And it's
I don't
I
I
mean
think Billy probably had to like had some he had some health
it's
issues in
probably
the
also
aftermath.
inhumane to eat the worms. So
To eat the worms? What if they were already dead? Like, what if, you know, like, there's dead
so if
worms
you
on
eat
the
like a
side of the
dead
road?
crusty worm,
Well, you're not killing it,
maybe eat
technically.
gummy worms. That's how I end. Go eat some gummy
Only the
worms.
name brand ones,
Only the
though, as
name
we've
brand gummy
learned.
worms. The like trolley ones.
Yeah,
Those are
right,
the ones to
yes.
eat. And if you want to send me gummy
Sponsored by
worms,
Trolley.
I will eat them.
Yeah, our PO box is. All right,
Imagine.
well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm the greasy brown toad bloater special.
Oh, that's funny. And we're
your second-hand film.